Hello and welcome back to the Let's Get Wicked podcast, where we talk about nothing but the game Villainous by Ravensburger. I'm your host, Joker Jonesy here, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Headmaster Ditto. Ditto, are you drinking coffee?
As a matter of fact, I am.
What brand of coffee are we drinking today?
It is the Kirkland brand, I think. Whatever Costco's generic bulk coffee is.
I got you. Was it, is Kirkland anything special besides the fact it's from Costco?
I mean, it's slightly higher quality than your typical bulk stuff, so it's not bad.
Everything from Costco.
When you buy coffee, do you buy it in like giant bulk?
Or is usually, when we bought it from Costco, got it in like the big like 80K cup boxes, so we can last for a while.
I got you. I'm learning coffee through you. So you are my coffee.
Oh. Like, yeah, all my drinks. I'm not the person you want to be learning coffee through.
Oh, no. No.
Mm, oh, God. The baby when it comes to the subtle intricacies of coffee.
Okay, people get weird about coffee.
Now, speaking of coffee and all things coffee, I don't know how this is related to anything of the jokes I'm about to make, but. You know, he was recording a rap album, and he just did get done off of his second premiere of the Aladdin live-action remake. Will Smith has returned. Hello, Will Smith. It.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing all right, you know. Aladdin 2, a live-action Return of Jafar. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. That's right.
And Men in Black 6.
And there you go. I was going to ask you, is like, how's the shoot going on during all this this world pandemic stuff? How's
that going? Know, just getting back in action.
Yeah, getting back in action. Are you shooting green screen footage in your closet?
May as well be.
It may as well be. Wow. I'm happy that you're joining us, Will Smith, because today we're getting into the artsy side of Villainous once more. We are doing a whole episode on the movers in Villainous as a whole. And Will Smith, let's just say, has had lots of time to analyze every single one of the movers in this game for reasons. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. I'm very intimately familiar with nooks and crannies.
For those of you who do not know, are the Tabletop Simulator mod. How many months ago has it been now? Like one or two?
I have no idea.
No, it feels like forever ago now at this point. 2 months feels like 2 years in this day and age. Will Smith here decided out of the grace of his own time to model up in what, Blender? Is that what you used?
I used Maya.
That was Maya? Okay, Maya. Yeah. I always get the two mixed up. Oh, they're both the same.
They're pretty much the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Blender's free.
Yeah, I was going to say Blender's free. But Will Smith remodeled the movers from Villainous so that way we can use them in the Tabletop Simulator mod. So the reason why that you no longer have a pawn as your mover in the game and actually have something that represents the mover from the actual game is because of our friend Will Smith here. So quick applause to Will Smith for making this game look a little bit more pleasurable to play online.
Absolutely. You know, this is one of those times where getting a laugh track set up would actually be really good, too.
Oh, dude.
I'd like the applause thing.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Of course. You know what? I keep telling myself I got to do that because I have to get We're in Smash Brothers. That is something I have really to get. I absolutely do. I got to work on that. Thing is, I looked up into this. So you can get the Elgato stream, like, control panel screen. You can get that like screen deck thing for your app, like your normal desktop machine, but apparently it is like a CPU eater. Like, no joke.
I could believe it.
You know, it takes up like 20% or some crazy stuff like that right now. I could believe it. Because I technically have it and I never use it, but I was looking into it and people were like, yeah, don't do it when you're trying to run a show or like an application because it's just going to eat the living crap out of your computer. So I might. Grab a folder and make a bunch of MP3 files, and whenever we need them during the show, I'll click on it and do it the old-fashioned way. So
and that works.
It'll do the job. It'll work. We definitely need to get the we're in Smash Brothers. That's something we need.
Oh yeah.
Tangent the show. What a show we live in. But we're gonna talk about the movers today. We're gonna talk about the art side of the movers, kind of how their importance with the game. You know, besides the fact that they are actually an intricate part of the gameplay. We just kind of want to do a little geeky deep dive conversation on the movers. And where I would like us to start is, you know, why do we think that the actual design of each one of these movers is important? Mr. Will Smith, I will start with you first.
Well, a big part of this game I believe it's been said on the show about a bajillion times, but really feeling like the villain.
Yes,
and,
for sure.
And, you know, having that physical representation and, like, moving it around, you know, it adds that level of immersion.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. It's just something nice to look at, other than a board and card.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very artsy part of the game that... And this is actually something I was going to ask you two about. Do you think if they opted out of not using unique movers, would you think the game would have a different feeling overall? Like, it would actually change the way that you look at the game in terms of, like, a critical eye?
Yeah. It wouldn't be worse. I don't know. It'd be a fine game. I enjoy miniatures. I enjoy movers. I think that it definitely makes it better, in my eyes, that it has unique movers.
Well,
not saying that it'd be a bad game if it, you know, just had pawns, but it helps.
I got you.
Yeah, definitely. But the thing that makes it, the movers so interesting, at least from my perspective, because I'm not an artist, boils down to kind of like you were saying about the feel of it. Like, you have the board and cards and everything, and the art for that's really nice too. But the mover in this game, that's you. That is what's representing your force of will in this game. And to have it so artfully and so carefully designed to fit into the flow of the character, to fit into the aesthetic you're going for with somebody like Prince John's, mainly just being that really big jewel, getting that flavor and that feel right does bring a certain element of satisfaction to the game, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. You know, now of playing this game a lot, it is amazing to, like, your apps, like, it's your persona. You know, like, it is the personification of your character. Like, obviously the realm, you know, brings out, like, the locations that you go to. But really, the actual mover itself, even though it's not, like, a direct miniature of the character themselves, and I got them all out in front of me while we're doing the show for the sake of reference. But, like, this is who you are. Like, you are not just some pawn that's got, like, a dome top to whatever that you're moving around and you can choose your color. It is really, like, you're playing these characters, and when you're in, you know, Will pointed out the fact that, like, you know, this game is not a miniatures game, but these are miniatures. You know, like, these are representations of the characters, and if we did not have that, I do not think the game would have as such a satisfying feeling as it should. Because even, like, I'm picking up the different movers right in front of me right now, and it's funny that, like, different movers, like, Pete is this nice round mover that's got, like, this thick base, and if I grip it with my hand, there is, like, this roundness to it. But then when I pick up Maleficent, she's a lot more sleeker, and it's a lot, like, a different feeling. And, like, even when you're moving that around the board, even just moving the figure has, like, that unique feeling, because, like, you're picking them up and there's a different weight and feel with your on your fingers with the mover that goes to a new location. And there's, like, you feel like, oh, Maleficent, I'm this sleeker, you know, more magical character. Well, with Pete, I'm a little bit more of this giant dumb oaf kind of character kind of bumbling around the realm. Yeah. You know, there is something to that.
You can even expand on that a little bit, where if you notice, I'm pretty sure Maleficent's piece is actually ever so slightly the tallest out of all of them.
If I'm looking...
Just a little bit.
peeks out.
I think Captain Hook ounces her out a little bit, but Maleficent is really? Definitely tallest after that.
It's just because that you kind of have to think about too is like just the size they decided to go for. Like, obviously, Maleficent is this really nice, tall, slender, sleek piece they have going for, and it just kind of. I don't want to say even as the miniature, it makes her feel a little more imposing for her piece to be that tall. I don't know. That may just be me.
No, I do think there is something to that. Cause even if you look at like, I got Radagon. Radagon is one of the shorter movers in the game in terms of the height.
Yeah, but his cape.
Yeah, no, it's literally
the swoosh. The cape.
But it's got, like, a different feeling when you look at it, because, like, Maleficent, I totally agree, where it's, like, just the way it's shaped and everything. She's kind of got, like, this ever, like, over-presence of all the different characters, you know, over, because that's kind of who she is, like, a tyrannical type of character, hence why she's got a tyranny card. But, like, with Radagon, you know, like, it's a little different, because it's almost like he's trying to say, like, everyone that's underneath him as the mover, you know, he's got his cape out and everything, and he's like, all right, listen to me type of ordeal, you know? There's lots to look at with all these different movers, I would say. Now here's the question. Who is your guys' favorite mover and why? Will, start off with you.
All right. As much as I would love to say Scar, because he's my favorite villain of all time, I don't think he's my favorite mover. And I think that the favorite mover title's gonna have to probably go to Radagon.
And the rat.
Which has got such a good mover.
Yeah. With
the little cape and the top hat, and it's like exactly the pose from the movie. It's so good.
Definitely that one pose for Radagon is like the most iconic. Like, if you're gonna remember anything about this character, that scene probably is it.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, is that, like, I'm looking at all the movers. I don't really think, like, obviously all the movers are different representations of the characters. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, maybe their outfit or their head or their hair. But, like, none of them necessarily represent, like, an action that the character does, if that makes sense. The only, like, Radagon's the only one that really is doing an action. Like, and that's why I think it stands out to so many people is the fact that, like, he's literally doing the pose from the song, you know? And it's even one of the cards in the game, you know? Like, you see the card.
The pose.
You know? He is the greatest criminal mind. And that pose makes him feel like that. And something, too, which is really clever, and I never really noticed it and paid more attention to it until now, but, like, his base of his mover is a tail.
Yeah, it's his little tail curled up. It's adorable.
It's awesome. It's even got like the details of like the tail, like I don't know.
Segment,
I am no
segment
scientist.
Parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
great.
It's really clever. It's very detailed. I enjoy it very much. So, what is it? Okay. You got any honorable mentions? Will Smith for the movers.
Captain Hook and Jafar, and Facilier.
Those are all good.
Yeah. Scar is probably my second favorite, exclusively just because of the little like lion face in the fire that like pokes out.
You know, I keep forgetting there's a lion face in there.
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's really hard to see if you're not really looking for it.
Something else too, because I got it in my hands. I never have realized this. There are skulls.
Yeah, there are.
At the bottom of the mover. I never noticed that.
Mm-hmm. It's like his pyre standing over the elephant graveyard.
I always thought it was flames. Oh my god! I've been looking at him wrong this whole time!
No, that's him towering over the Pride Lands that he destroyed.
Yeah, no, I mean, I always knew that's what the ground was supposed to be, like the crumpled, sense of either the graveyard or like during the Be Prepared song, but I never realized that the bottom part, it wasn't supposed to be fire. It was supposed to be part of the elephant graveyard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a...
I learned new stuff during the show.
It's wonderful.
Who would have known? That's great. Wow. learning stuff. This is awesome. I love these conversations. These are Ditto. Who's your favorite? Give me some honorable mentions.
That's a tough one. Favorite of the movers actually probably has to go to Jafar.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not.
That Jafar mover is so perfect.
I'm not even really sure how to describe
it. It's his shoulders and his hat, and it's the snake staff at the same time. It's sleek. It's skeezy like him. It's perfect.
Pretty much, yeah. Definite honorable mention goes to Pete, though.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what gets me about the Pete mover, is that the proportions of that mover are kind of wonky, which is completely perfect for, like, the 20s and 30s cartoon aesthetic.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It's just that ever so slightly wonky ratio of everything. Like, you've got the really short, stocky body with the really, like, comically tall hat.
Huh. Yeah. That's funny.
That kind of thing. Also,
yeah.
It's very special. It's
awful, but, like, proportion-wise, yeah. It's not the same. I got you.
Very special honorable mention to the limited edition Cruella with the actual spots. I just love that.
Oh, it's dope. What is it? It's interesting too, because I have the Cruella mover, that's the original one, and I have the Target one. And it's interesting because, like, the Target mover, the white on it is completely different than the original normal mover. Because, like, the normal one looks like the white has got, like, this opaque kind of color to it of the white. And the black is also the same deal, but the actual speckled one, like, the white and the black are really harsher colors. They don't look opaque.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The speckles on them, it just adds a whole new flavor to it. And
I have to give an honorable mention to that one, even though not everyone is going to necessarily be playing with it. It feels so perfect.
Oh, it's great. I definitely agree. It's a good mover. This is one of the few times where I would tell people, like, normally, like, if you have the ability to get the Target one, get the Target one. If you don't
have definitely.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Also, I do want to shout out to Jafar. I think the Jafar one, probably out of all the characters, I think is one of the best representations of the character, per se. It's not my favorite, but I think of just, like, representing the character, I think it's the best. You're right on the proportions, like, and everything.
It takes so many different elements of how we perceive Jafar as a character and figures out how to blend them all in a way that they're all distinct from each other, but at the same time, it's all one cohesive piece. It's not
right.
Like, they didn't do this, oh, let's just slap the snake face here, and oh, let's just slap Iago on here somewhere. Forgot about him. No, they actually thought about how they wanted it to look, and it's nice and symmetrical too, which I think is the reason I like it so much.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Weirdly enough, not that something asymmetrical like Yzma's is something I dislike, but it just looks neater.
No, I agree, because, like, most of the movers have some unique aspect to it, so it's not like you can just do a perfect like symmetry thing where you split it in half and you can.
It's very easy to model it when it's symmetrical.
Oh, to say, yeah, I just do half of it and then do the other half. There's a few of them that are like that. Like, I know I'm looking at Maleficent. Maleficent, you can do it like that too.
Yeah, Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. I just got them all in front of me. And I think, yeah, Evil Queen, you can do it too. But I feel like Jafar is just, like, the best, like, simple, sleek, gets the character down right to a T. I mean, like, that's, like, if I were to, like, show this game off to someone, like, just with the movers, I feel like Jafar would be definitely the ones I want to use. For sure.
I will say, Captain Hook's piece and the exaggeration of that one feather, that is correct.
I love it. Captain Hook's piece is adorable. It's just,
it's
the hat, so cute.
It is incredible. I don't understand how Captain, like, the cool thing too about Captain Hook is, like, you know, when you look at the piece, it looks like the whole bottom is like a full piece, but in reality, there's that indent to make it look like he's actually got that cape on. You know what I mean? It was so cool. You know, and, like, I haven't actually just, like, you know, you play with the game so much, you don't actually hold on to the pieces and, like, take a deep dive into them. It takes doing a podcast to really do it. And, like, I'm seeing other details on Captain Hook that I don't think normally people see. Like, if you look at the back.
Probably. He's got the little, like, handkerchief thing there.
Yeah.
Like, they actually did choose to model more or less the full coat, which is really kind of cool.
No, it's a great, great idea.
Fantastic piece.
No, exactly.
The same thing with Queen of Hearts, too. Like, the shape is pretty simplistic, but if you look at it, they have all the details of her dress there.
Right, exactly.
On that note, shout out to the Hades piece. Which,
oh, we'll get there.
The mountain. Ooh, those details in the mountain.
I'll go ahead and speak, because I am a slight sucker for blue, because blue is my favorite color. And I am also in the same boat, Will Smith, that I love Scar. Scar is my favorite villain of all these characters that are in front of me right now. But I absolutely love the Hades piece. It is my favorite. It is blue. It has got fire on it. It's got the mountains. It's got, like, the Hades underneath, like, fire smoke coming out beneath him. I just adored this piece. And I remember because Hades was the first character I played, and I remember when I was moving this piece, I'm like, this just feels right. It's also that really nice shade of blue where it's not like the pure blue. It's got like that lighter, I don't know what you would call it, in terms of colors.
I'm not great at colors, so I can't tell you.
I know my hex codes. I don't know the actual, like, vocabulary term of the colors, but it's like that. See, it's like the cyan, however the heck you were supposed to pronounce the word. It's just like, it's that perfect light blue. I absolutely adore it. It looks great in the sunlight too. Like, when you have sunlight coming in on the piece, looks really good. Shout outs to Scar. It's probably my second favorite one. Biased reasons though. And Cruella and Yzma. I really like their pieces. We already talked about Cruella's. I really like the spotted one. And even the normal one looks really good. I think them actually taking a step and being like, hey, we're not going to use the color palette that's on, like, the cards in the realm and do a split color thing for the mover, I think was a really good idea for her. I do like the royal red that they use in her realm. But
if there was ever a color they were going to use for Cruella, it was going to be that red. Like, that paint job on the car is too iconic.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like,
but at the same time, like, you can't not have the Dalmatian color scheme with her. Like, that, you got it.
I was honestly expecting they were going to do something unique with her cards, or they were going to do it speckled. I honestly thought they were going to do
something. Could have seen them doing something like that too, but I'm glad they stuck with their guns on the solid color.
Yeah, I think it works. I do want to give shout outs to Yzma, because I do like Emperor's New Groove, and I do like Yzma as a character. And funny enough, I think Yzma is the lightest of all the movers when you feel it in your hand, because it honestly feels like you're using a pencil.
Yeah, it's like there's no weight to it. It's like a millimeter thick.
So cool. I'm just like, and like,
I just worry when I look at that thing, because I'm always wondering if somebody at some point is just gonna stab themselves and, like, actually draw blood. Just how sharp.
But it's like, honestly, I'm more afraid that, like, someone bends it, because, like, I'm not trying to bend it, but you can bend it a little bit.
That thing will snap in half.
Yeah, that this is the one that, you know, you got to be careful when you're, like, messing around with the piece, because, you know, one wrong movement, and
you're going to start losing feathers on that one.
Yeah, no, exactly. Shout-outs to Yzma, though. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. I think Yzma and Hades probably have the most, like, movie art style accurate pieces. I love them for it.
I agree.
Like, Yzma with her, like, sharp edges and, like, disjointed, like, the two-part body. It's just so, it looks so much like the movie, and it's like weird angular art style. And the Hades obviously has the swirls that the movie's just so fond of.
No, yeah, I agree. It's
very, very close to that movie art style.
No, it's got, I think the thing that pops out about Hades is that it does look very Greek. Like, especially at the bottom with the flames.
I like the like ridges on the mountain, and the texture on that whole like pillar piece is just very detailed.
Yeah.
And wonderful.
And like when you look at it just at first glance, Hades probably seems like it's the simplest of the pieces because it's, you know, just a pillar. But the closer you get to it, the more that you realize, hey, this actually has a little bit of depth to it. Hey, the top is his hair. Hey, we've got the smoke effect thing going on the bottom. Like, all these little aspects come together to make something that's just kind of nice.
Right. It's like, even when you look at, like, Dr. Facilier's, you know, like, from a distance, it just kind of looks like a very, like, you know, like thin, straight thing with, like, a little curl at the end. But when you delve deep into it, they really actually nailed this entire outfit because...
Oh, yeah. It's got the little jacket. It's got the little skull on the hat. It's really good.
They got the feather.
Despite the fact that most of his piece is the hat, like, they still have the coattails, they still have the feather, they still have the skull. They get the feel for... And it even, like, makes sense thematically with the character, because the character is really tall, slender type of character, and I think the piece kind of fills that really well.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny, too, because I'm like, I'm looking at some of the other movers just to kind of get an idea of, like, maybe some ideas. Because, like, even, like, Ursula relatively is a simple mover because, like, you know, big octopus lady. But, like, they really did kind of nail the representation of the character because, literally, she's probably the thickest of all the pieces. She's got the hairdo.
Oh, sure.
And she's got all the tentacles. I'm looking to see if she's got one, two.
Yeah. I think the only other piece that would be thicker are Radigan and maybe Pete.
Yeah, no, and those also make sense because they're both big body characters, you know?
As a, somebody like Facilier or Maleficent or Hades even, who are kind of on the taller side.
Right. No, and like even the same thing with Jafar, you know, like the taller characters, or even Cruella, actually, like all the taller characters are relatively represented in a taller fashion. Because like that's kind of like what their standout is things from the movie are, because they're tall, looking down upon you characters. But then, like, you know, even characters like Scar, like, he's not as tall, but he's kind of got, like, when it goes back to the pose stuff, like, the way it's posed and everything makes it look like he's got, like, that, he's, like, on all fours. He's got, like, that be prepared, like, walking slowly, you know, through the, you know, through the elfin graveyard kind of ordeal, you know. They've all just got really nice details on them that I think when you take a hot second to look at it, there is just a lot of passion and care that went into just modeling these out, and just goes to show how much they really did care to make something like this feel really good when playing the game. It's something that I think we overlook.
Just to go ahead and bring her up, even though I absolutely loathe her with every fiber of my being, Gothel's mover is actually pretty pleasing to look at too.
Oh, it's
the flower on Gothel's mover is awesome.
No,
you know how long it took me to realize that the piece is not a vase?
Really?
Like, it's actually her cloak. I did not realize that for the longest time.
Yeah. That's always the thing that was interesting to me because, like, so, like, I kind of knew, like, that portion was the cloak. But what's cool, too, is, like, from a distance, like, the top portion doesn't look like a flower. But when you look at it from top down, it totally is a flower. Like, that's what that's supposed to be.
You know, that I knew the flower was going to be the big, like, centerpiece to her, but I legitimately thought it was a vase for the longest time until I actually got it in hand.
The little zipper down the coat is great.
No, it helps give the vase piece more detail for sure.
Oh yeah.
These are really cool. I love these things. What is it?
Just goes to show that, like, you can put a lot of love and detail into, like, even the smallest parts of a game. Like, even the most insignificant thing. Like, if you put that little bit of attention to detail into it.
No, it goes a long way.
Amazed what kind of output you can get.
It even goes to, like, when you're talking about accessories to games, like, let's just even bring up tokens and stuff like that. Like, the way that you design tokens in games and, like, what those tokens are supposed to be used for goes a long way than just, you know, and I'm saying this, and Villainous does this, like, just generate a simple circular token. You know what I mean? Well, but
and there have been discussions, I think I saw it on Board Game Geek once, it definitely came up in the server a couple times, where, like, you can replace the cardboard power tokens with, like, little gemstones.
Yeah.
A little dollar store or plastic gem stuff if you want a little more of a feel to it, and that's kind of nice. But I think what really gets me about that is the cauldron they have in the base game.
Yeah.
Like, that's something they absolutely did not have to do at all. And yet they did it anyway.
No, it's great. I mean, like, even when I'm playing with, you know, when I bring it out at parties, or when I played it with my dad recently, like, I was playing, we were both playing expansion characters. And even when you're playing expansion characters, I always bring out the cauldron. Like, there's absolutely no reason not to. It's a great centerpiece. And then, like, if you have snacks, the running joke is always, are you going to eat the power or are you going to eat your snack? You know? Because it's just, like, it's that easy, like, it's in the middle of the table. You're reaching it with your greasy hands after you're eating that pretzels or potato chips or whatever you're eating. But it's like, having those pieces the way that they are is really important to the feel of a game. You know, and like, and yeah, the power tokens are the power tokens, but I even feel like the power tokens are designed that way because if you look at the card, when you look at a card and see how much it costs to play, that power token icon on the card has the same overall design as the power tokens in the
color. So does the game power action, like on the boards.
Right.
It's got the same look to it, so you know everything's consistent. You know what it's referring to. Can't really mess that one up.
Exactly. I have played so many games where they have tokens that don't actually properly represent like what it's supposed to be from the game, or they mix so many things around. Like, for those of you who've been watching recently, I've been playing Marvel Champions on the Twitch channel, and I sometimes get confused about when I'm supposed to place tokens in certain places because the game comes with so many different accessories that, like, you're supposed to keep track of damage on your hero, the main villain, and then the villains. And literally the way that you have to keep track of damage on all three of those things is completely different. Like, it's completely different.
Beautiful.
And it gets confusing because sometimes, like, I'll be dealing a damage or taking damage, and then I'll be taking a token that's supposed to be damaged to a minion and place it on my hero, and I'm like, I have a dial. I'm like, I keep forgetting that's a thing I'm supposed to do.
Inconsistent stuff like that starts to get in the way, probably.
Yeah, no. That's why, like, it's interesting. Like, I've been playing a lot of Champions recently, and, like, Champions is a really solid solo game. But, like, I can't imagine maybe trying to play this with a full group of four players because there's just so many different types of tokens and so many different things you have to keep track of at all times that it's difficult. But even with this game, though, like, when Perfectly Retchin was giving out all the new tokens still relatively are consistent in design and style and the way that they're supposed to operate in the game. You know, there's a reason why they are nothing but basically rectangles or squares, you know? And even bringing up the Corella puppy tokens, the puppy symbol on the token itself is the same symbol that they used on the card backs and the borders. Yep. So it's
consistent design is very important, guys.
Consistent design is incredibly important. So don't do anything crazy. But yeah, no, there we go. We talked about accessories and when we're supposed to talk about movers. But hey, it's a good conversation to have.
It all matters. Aesthetic.
And it's a little piece of everything. I would personally be remiss if I didn't mention that Will was also responsible for the movers for my custom characters.
Oh, yeah.
Are they special?
Well, they're pretty nice. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movers for that yet. You'll have to show me after this.
Oh yeah, you should definitely the Frollo one.
The Frollo one is definitely the one I'm the most. I feel the best about.
Will, how many did you also do? A lot of the movers for a lot of the customs, or did you only do
the only customs I've done were Dittos. Okay. Everyone else, I don't know.
Everyone else, for the most part, have done their own. I just don't have an artistic bone in my body, so I couldn't do it if I wanted to.
I remember for grad school, I actually had to do something in Maya, and I remember I was so scared to run it on my Mac because Macs are not necessarily great to be running that type of high-end software on them because they might crash.
Oh yeah.
And I decided, I was like, I'll run it on my laptop and hope to God that it won't explode. It didn't explode, but I was scared the whole time because it's a MacBook. And I was like, well, it survived. Never doing that again. And I have to give you people that use 3D modeling software a lot of props because I love doing graphic design with like Adobe Illustrator and sometimes Photoshop. And obviously I web design, so I do that for a living. But
3D is a beast.
I cannot imagine the amount of vertices and details that you have to do in modeling out.
Yeah, there's just a lot that you just don't want to play with. You say, this is what I want to do. I ignore everything else. if it ain't broke, don't touch it.
At first, when this whole custom movers thing really started making waves, I did try to do my own. But the problem is like, I don't really have the vision for it. Like, I know what I wanted to do. It was just the making it happen. I don't know.
Find the big shape and then twist it around till it works.
Is that your process? Is that
how pretty much the process? Yeah.
Really? Which one was the most complicated one to do?
Either Gothel or Ursula's tentacles, probably.
Really?
That flower, man, it's weird. Flower's a weird...
The thing that's fun about the flower is I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering it right, isn't it 5 petals?
Yeah, it's 5 petals.
There's 6 petals.
There are 6. Yeah,
you
want to
get super detailed.
I thought it was 5. Then it was 6. I had to go back and fix it.
Well, I wasn't sure because I thought in the movie I heard they were actually 7 petals. And then they switched it to 5 on the mover. It's like, huh, that's weird. But apparently there are actually 6.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. There is 6 because it's like, if you take out the coat, the part of the coat that's like the zipper, you can probably split the thing down the middle for the most part and get
the tentacles on Ursula, they were
special.
They're weird.
Yeah. I can see the detail.
No.
How that can get a little funky because they're not like all the tentacles are different on both sides. So like the design of them is different, so you can't just copy and paste that for the most part.
Not quite, no.
Yeah, Ursula's piece looks simple, but it's completely asymmetrical. It's like it's doing a lot of things.
You want to talk about what should be simple but isn't? The Queen of Hearts little heart, because you can't just make a heart in Maya. You gotta sit there with a ball and stretch it around till it looks like a heart. So thanks, Maya.
Now what's gonna happen is someone in the comments of the YouTube video is gonna be like, "Well, if you wouldn't make a heart the simple way in Maya, you gotta do this,"
It happened months ago. It's too late for that now, buddy.
And then they're going to listen to this part of the podcast, and they're like, I feel bad now.
No, they won't. They're on the internet. No one feels bad.
That is also true.
What? There's no regret on the internet. What?
So, on the topic of the movers, so I got to ask. Because whenever we get into these types of conversations, I have to bring this up. Let's pretend that the next Disney expansion is going to have Gaston, Lady Tremaine, and Oogie Boogie in it. All right, let's just dream. All right, let's all dream right now. What would we want those movers to look like?
Antlers.
What?
Antlers on Gaston.
Oh, you want antlers on Gaston?
I want antlers.
Yeah. I feel like a really fun piece for him would actually be made of like his chair in the tavern.
The chair, the rifle, or antlers. Like a mix or like something about those three.
And then like because you would
have the antlers in all of his decorating.
That he wears.
Yeah, that, for sure. Yeah, I think that would be a good starting point for his.
Now, question is, what? So, I assume we're going to say the color would be red, right?
I don't know, because they have a bunch of red already.
I think it would have to either be red or, like, some, like, reddish-brown thing, almost.
Okay.
It's like, Hook has the real dark red. Jafar's got a pretty dark red. Cruella is just obnoxious.
Huh. Okay.
But I don't know. I feel like Cruella's red is probably closest to what Gaston would be.
I could see Gaston being a little orangey because he's got that red and yellow color scheme.
Like mix a little bit of brown into it.
Yeah, a little orangey brown.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, his jacket is like a red orangish color. So like,
yeah. It's like red and yellow, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Red and yellow, mix them together. There you go. You get your colors. Go open a crayon box and before we go on further, is it crayon or crayon? How we pronounce it?
Crayon.
I think it's crayon in America and crayon literally everywhere else.
Okay. Apparently, I've always pronounced it crayons.
Yeah, you know what?
I get so much garbage. It must be
more of a New England thing that kind of bled down a little bit.
It must be. I have English blood in my family, so.
That's what it is.
We're Southern, so.
Okay. I agree with the antlers and the thing. I think the chair would be hilarious.
I'd like the chair a lot. Well,
seriously, though, what you do is you have the chair with the rifle kind of leaning up next to it, and then you have one of the taxidermy heads just kind of hanging off of the top of it as like the main decoration piece. It could work great.
Oh my god, I see it.
If you want to get super detailed, like lean the mirror in the chair too, just to get that in there too.
Really, what they do, it's the mirror is the head with antlers connected to it, and then the jacket, and it's sitting on the chair.
I could. That'd be fine.
Yeah,
I'm down. Honestly. I can be down with that.
I like the idea of Gaston's piece kind of just being all those different props, though, instead of like trying to get his figure out of it. Because compared to a lot of the other characters in this game, Gaston himself is pretty tame. Like you've got Hades as a literal god. Pete is whatever Pete is. He's just straight out of the cartoons. We've got Jafar as this. In like just really high-ranking political figure, and then you've got Gaston, who's
muscle man,
a hunter. I think kind of focusing his piece more on his accessories than him would be a really cool idea, because it really is the accessories that makes Gaston who he is.
That is true. I agree.
Plus, all of his cards are going to be super narcissistic anyway. Oh, yeah. So you got to get accessories in there somewhere.
No, what it's going to be is the next expansion is not actually going to be characters. It's going to be dress-up clothes for your movers. That's what it's going to be.
I would totally just buy an expansion if all it was alternate movers.
Just gives Jafar a little cape.
Yeah. I showed you guys this article, but there was an article when Ravensburger was talking about like their tabletop thing kind of exploding and how like in one of the pictures they showed off like Captain Hook, where it was like Captain Hook's normal color, then like the solid blue, and then there was a silver, and then I think there was like a pure white Maleficent. Did you guys see that?
I don't know if I saw that or not, but honestly, I like the idea of having alternate colors for these movers.
Oh, I think it'd be cool too. I think it absolutely be cool. As a fighting game nerd, let me tell you, my Dragon Ball FighterZ team is nothing but blue, you know?
I mean, even from like I play Smite, which is generic MOBA of the month. But one of the biggest things about that game that's interesting is to like, they take all those characters and then how they redesign the skins. Like skins, recolors, all that stuff. Like that is a whole realm of detail that you could have a lot of fun with.
What we need is the Overwatch model where it's loot boxes and there's legendary skins.
Yeah, that honestly, I would kind of accept that when we get up to the digital Villainous Age. Yeah. That I would accept that.
I would accept that too. I think that'd be dope.
Because like, it would be really cool to have a brighter red Jafar with like gold accents as the genie.
Form. Oh yeah, That would be cool.
Like represented as the piece. That would be a neat detail to get in there.
You get the scar mover, and it's the mover looks like the scar from the live action movie. That's what you get.
I could extend that to Maleficent too, honestly. I think they could get a whole nother different feel out of Maleficent if they went for more of a live action.
Yeah.
A Maleficent piece with the big wings from the movie would be cool.
God, there's so many things. God. Now, off from the tangent. We now have Tremaine and Oogie Boogie. Now, I'm going to start with Oogie Boogie here because I think this is a really good one to do. Because we know exactly what they need to do. It's got to be that neon green. It's got to glow in the dark. And it's got to look like the bag. That's all you got to do. I think maybe the only thing that you add to it. Maybe you add some type of like. I don't like some of the stuff from like the casino with like some of the knights like with the knives maybe as like some intricate part of like the design on it. I don't know, but like you just need to have Boogie's head and then the big round sack body, and then you have like some of the sewn marks as details. It's neon, glows in the dark, case closed. I'll take 50.
Seriously, but the direction I kind of thought, and Will actually ended up.
Yeah, I made this one.
Oh my god, I have to see. With
more of the like shadow in the moon aspect.
Oh my god, yes.
Because that was my entire idea from the very beginning with Oogie, is because he never actually leaves his lair at all. And so his influence over the realm would be more of as the shadow in the moon, as this really mysterious presence that is there, but you don't really think about being there.
He's the boogeyman.
So that's kind of the aesthetic I would go for, is more of the shadow. Get the moon thing going on.
Okay. I gotcha. I like that.
It'd be really cool if they could incorporate like the roulette table.
Oh yeah.
And okay. Somehow, if they could find some way to make that happen, that'd be awesome.
That's what I want on the character, because I think it's really easy just to take Oogie's like sack. And like make it so it's got like the sewn marks on it and everything. But I do want like that casino roulette table representation for on the character. Like, I just think it's like if you were trying to take Pete and like trying to give him part of like this, like the steamboat as like his base. You know what I mean? Like there's no real point because the mover itself is already kind of bulky and big. So it's got that base for it. I don't know how you would do that with Oogie to represent that.
Oh, but he does just have like that silhouette. Already, that's just so.
The alternate with Oogie could actually focus more on the dice.
Oh yeah,
as the piece, because that could be cool if you really wanted to take it that angle. But I guess it depends on how you're going about like actually interpreting the character in terms of the overall aesthetic.
Yeah. What is it? I think one of the things with the movers that they've all kind of consistently done is that. It's a representation of the character and some things around the character, but overall, it's still trying to make them seem like a person. I think the only one that does not do that at all is Prince John, because literally Prince John is just the crown. Like
Prince John is a bit of an outstanding mover in general, because it literally is just the crown sitting on top of a jewel. Like, it more represents right. His goal than actually represents him.
It would not surprise me at all if that was the first mover that they designed.
It must have been.
Like, it's just so different.
Kind of lump Yzma's into the same boat, where, yeah, it kind of looks like her, but it mostly just kind of looks like her aesthetic, if that makes sense.
No, that looks just like her. That's exactly what she looks like in the movie.
Kind of like the thin, bony thing, but at the same time, all that stuff, like, when you see her in the movie kind of rebranding the Empire, that was kind of her look anyway. It was just the real generic, tall, spiky...
Yeah.
Obviously bright purple.
Now, you can... It's interesting when you look at some of the movers, like, because I have them in front of me, because, like, even, like, I know, Will, you were saying how much of a pain it was to do all the tentacles at the bottom and Ursula, but, like, there must have been some evolution of them, because, like, on Ursula, you don't see any detail, like, at all on the body. Like, all the detail is in the tentacles. But as you look at some other characters, Like, you know, Maleficent gets a little bit more detail because, like, if you look at the front of her, she's got these indentation of eyes to represent the dragon, and then she's got the details for her horns. And then, like, Hades is a great example because Hades is literally, like, trying to be, you know, fiery head, a pillar, his cape, and then all the flames at the bottom, and it's got all that detail, you know? There's definitely seems like there was an evolution of, like, modeling these out and seeing, like, what they all can do.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, especially you mentioned Radagon having the tail as the base of the piece, kind of as a detail. You've got Pete, if you look really carefully, his ears are actually on there, too, which is a really nice flavor thing. She's got the overall straps on him, which is nice.
Yeah. And, like, the overalls is, like, you have to look, like, when you look at it from a distance, you can't tell. But when literally the straps have the button on them. It's got the loop around. And then even when you look at the back, it actually looks like it's strapped back onto the pants. So there is like that extra detail that they went into, like making it look like these are actually overalls on Pete. You know, it's not just Pete's fat base with ears and a hat. You know, like there is some other detail to the figure, which is really nice. They obviously went all out in trying to make these. It still blows my mind to this day that they actually went to take the time to actually design these to the detail that they are. You know,
even like we're
talking, you know, I don't want to say we're talking horrible about Prince John, but even Prince John, you know, they could have gone a little bit more simple with the crown. Yeah. But even at the base, it's got that detail.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great piece. It definitely like fits like how focused he is. Like he doesn't care about what he looks like. He's money. He doesn't care. Money. Like it's a great piece. Not the most interesting, but that is a good piece.
He's got to have money. Got to have money. That's a quote. I don't know how many people know that one. That's actually no joke. So for those of you who don't know, that is a quote from the Tom and Jerry movie from like 1992. And when I used to do web development tutorials on my own personal YouTube channel, I made a joke about how all the development text editors, they all the good ones have to be paid for. And you for sure know I put the actual clip from the movie in there in some reference to that. And at some point, I will find a way to put that as a soundbite into this podcast. I will rip the audio and do it. So I don't have to try to impersonate it and it doesn't sound like garbage. But yeah. No, it's doable. I could somewhat do it. I've been doing it since I've seen that movie. Not a bad movie, by the way. I know people give it crap all the time. Not a bad film. Fight me on that one, folks. I know the internet will come after me.
They'll always come after you.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, moving on from Oogie. What do we do with Tremaine? I think Tremaine probably is the easiest one of the three.
Yours is actually really like conflicting for me.
Really?
Because the idea I would have for Tremaine's mover is really similar to the idea I would have for Frollo's, and you know which one I want more.
I know.
So that's kind of a tough call.
I think Tremaine's easy because you basically kind of like you almost do her like herself.
Pretty
like,
much
her, like, her character.
The hairdo is pretty iconic. But the thing that kept popping out to me when I was thinking about, even like back when I was thinking about doing a custom for Tremaine, kind of focused around her piece kind of being the clock tower.
Oh.
Because, yeah, Tremaine's character is set up as kind of the rival for Cinderella, but the clock tower is kind of a rival for Cinderella too. So it's just kind of a more of a symbolic representation than literal, if that makes sense.
Do any of the movers that we currently have really use a location? I think the only one is like maybe Hades.
Not exactly. Hades, kind of. Scar, kind of.
Hades and Scar are the closest.
Yeah.
And then the one I made for Frollo, but that didn't count.
A really interesting idea to have her piece be the clock tower, maybe with like the hair as kind of the thing that ties it all together, but I don't know. That was a weird one.
Yeah. I definitely see the hair and like part of the
because like If you just do like the hair, the dress, you know, just like the silhouette, then it really starts kind of butting in on the Queen of Hearts, I think.
Right. Yeah.
It's just like overall shape. The Clock Tower would at least be a little bit different, if not a little similar to Hades, I guess. And then like Frollo, if he comes. Which,
man, I'm going to pull up a picture of Lady Tremaine on Google as we're doing the podcast and hope to God I don't get anything I don't want to see.
You will. That's the internet.
I'll tell you one thing. Don't type in Sonic the Hedgehog on Google Images. You will
never.
Don't do it. Never.
Don't try that at home, everybody listening to the show.
Please don't.
Yeah. Your brother might lose bets on that one. What is it? Okay. I'm pulling up.
But like, other than the hair, and this is kind of the issue I have with Tremaine. Like, I know she's important as a character, and obviously Cinderella, you can't have a Disney thing without.
Right.
But Tremaine's design is a little bit on the generic side.
She's just a lady. Yeah, just she's just a lady.
Like, just old curmudgeon.
Yeah, I'm looking at her design, because, like, the things that stand out about her outfit.
Like the brooch, maybe?
Her hair, the way that it's, like, kind of like what you said with the Queen of Hearts, where it's, like, this blouse type of ordeal where it kind of puffs out. And then, like, she's got that medallion that's, like, in her chest.
Yeah. The hair and the brooch are the things that really stick out to me.
Yeah.
And I think if you were to, like, do what I said, like, take the clock tower and then incorporate those elements, you'd be incorporating a lot of, maybe less specifically of Tremaine, but definitely a lot more of the movie itself.
You know,
flavor-wise.
She's also got that stick.
She does have a walking stick, and that's an interesting possibility there too.
You know, something I want to point out while we're talking about this, and someone pointed this out to us a long time ago. I don't know if it was on the new server or the old server, but there's those Disney villains perfume bottles.
Yes, 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 I remember that. I actually was one of the ones I think that brought that up, because those perfume bottles are very similar to the movers.
Oh yeah,
like the ones that we already have.
I'm gonna pull them up right now.
Like, it's scary how accurate some of those are.
I'm gonna see if I get the whole list. So like, if you're looking, this is the one. So like, Queen of Hearts. So if you just if you're listening to the show and want to see what I'm talking about, if you type in Disney villain perfume bottles on Google Images, you'll basically get like a bunch of what we're talking about in many different forms. And like, I'm looking at it, like Queen of Hearts is like super almost identical. What is it? Gothel is not identical, but the concept is the same, if that makes sense. Evil Queen's almost identical. Hades has kind of got some similar things. Captain Hook's got some similar themes.
Ursula's got
some similar themes. Jafar, even the Dr. Facilier. With Lady Tremaine, click on it, and now it's doing weird things on Google Images. Literally, they got the hair. They got her gem on the bottom. I'm trying to find, because there is something inside it, and I'm trying to get a close-up image of it. Like, because it's like the hair itself is like opaque, and then the rest of it inside is what is it? Dang it, Google Images, give me high res stuff. There we go. Oh, that's odd. Oh, it's just part of the perfume bottle. Never mind. I thought I was special for a second. So like, hers is literally just her hair, and the bottom part is just like.
I think one thing that's really going to make or break that design would actually be the color palette they go for.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
Because like, at first I had thought something actually in a similar vein to what I used for the Madam Mim custom, which is just kind of deep lavender pink almost. But if they were to actually choose something a little less saturated and just kind of more like a grayish red almost, maybe it could work. I don't know. The main thing is the shape. They'd have to do something really interesting to differentiate it from the Queen of Hearts to me.
No. I think there's ways. I think because like Queen of Hearts overall is kind of like a bulkier character. So I think if they approach it by making Tremaine slender but still have the, you know, the way like her dress is set up and everything, and then show off that gemstone and then like the hair, I think they could still make it unique. Because I would think even compared to the Queen of Hearts mover, you make her a little taller.
Maybe.
Mover wise. I do want to point out two things. One, the Gaston bottle has a deer's head on it. So
all of his decorating.
We're on the right track with Gaston. I also want to point out, because we have a Frollo fan among us. You folks know that Ditto's a Frollo fan. The Frollo perfume bottle, if he makes it in, I feel like it's almost like way too
hard. Yeah. And that's exactly what we ended up doing for the Frollo mover too, for the custom. Yeah. Is it's just one of Notre Dame's towers with his hat on top.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
It's perfect.
No, it absolutely makes sense. This is a good representation of all that.
I mean, the hat alone is the most iconic thing about him. But just add that Notre Dame tower to it to give it the kind of the regal feel, and it really starts to pop.
No, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It kind of makes me excited because, like, I remember one of the things when Perfectly Wretched got announced that was really interesting was just to see the movers. And, like, without, like, directly, if you just saw the announcement and didn't know the names of the characters, but you just saw the movers do a lot of justice of explaining, like, who
that character you'd know
is without even having to read anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd know.
Like, it's really cool to know that, like, those movers are really huge identifying portions of the characters. And it's nice. You can just point them out from a distance. So. All right. I think that's everything I want to talk about the movers. Is there anything else you folks would like to talk about before we close up the show?
That Ultron mover looks sick.
Oh my God. Can we just talk about the
Marvel? Oh, it looks so cool.
Oh my God.
I love it.
The Ultron mover is so damn cool. I love it.
The Ultron mover.
It is so, like, sick.
The Thanos piece I can more or less completely ignore. Like, yeah, it's the glove. Moving on.
That's kind of how I feel helmet. About the Evil Queen.
The Ultron helmet. Oh, it's so nice.
Oh,
Hela's piece is cool too, but that Ultron
mover. Hers is cool just because, like, okay, this is one of the reasons I like Maleficent's piece as much as I do, where it's got the really intricate, like, they actually have the curves and the horns right. I absolutely love that Hela's mover is going to have, like, the full headpiece incorporated into the design. That's beautiful. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
No, it's super dope.
I can't wait to see what the rest of the stuff for Marvel looks like either, because that entire design paradigm is going to be more or less completely unexplored territory, I think.
And oh, yeah.
It's going to be, like, really cool to see what they decide to do here.
Because, like, it doesn't matter what villains that they decide to do or whatnot. I think there's, like, I mean, I was thinking of characters I assume we'll get at some point, whether or not in this box or the next one, where it's like Kingpin, Red Skull, Green Goblin, or Dr. Octopus, any X-Men villain under the sun. All those characters have some very iconic, like, standout pieces about them, but, like, what do you do to make them stand out as a mover rather than just, like, all right, here's Magneto, here is his helmet, he has a cape, you know? Like, they've obviously taken some liberties, even with Ultron. Like, I would think, like, there's not a whole lot, I would say, with Ultron you can maybe, like, super stand out, because really what Ultron stands out is his color scheme, you know? But, like, with the mover itself, my God.
He's got that slick gray. Deepman, that Ultron piece is just looking good. I am very interested to see, number one, who the rest of the Marvel pieces people are going to be moving forward, you know, past the first set, hopefully. And, gosh, those movers are going to be cool. Like, they just got to be cool.
Now, I might be looking way too into this, but granted, the movers that I'm looking at, the image that is shown on BoardGameGeek, these movers are very oversized and everything. Do you think we're going to stick with Marvel, the opaque kind of design that Disney has done, or do you think we're going to go with the solid color? Because what they're showing here is the solid stuff. Because that is a different look.
I honestly kind of hope that they go for a bit more of, like, almost a metallic texture thing. Because that's the big design change that differentiates the cards. Is the main villainous cards, you've got kind of a smoky fire effect. But you notice the cards for Marvel, that have this really nice metallic sheen on the cards. I'm kind of hoping they keep that going forward.
They keep that going. Yeah, I actually did not notice that until you said something. They do have that metallic look to them. And they got like...
Each one of the different characters has a slightly different texture to that metallic look.
Right.
Which I think could be a fun little detail to include even on the movers.
That would be a really solid idea. Marvel, baby! Marvel wins Marvel! We'll hopefully know sooner or later from the recording of the show. I'm looking forward to seeing what the movers are like. It's kind of interesting, too, because, like, except for Thanos, like, Ultron and Hela have kind of direct representations of just, like, the character, like, headpiece, if that makes sense. You know, like, they're not, they look like the character.
Right. But, I mean, you're not going to have Thanos and not have him be represented by the glove.
True. I'll give you that. It's still an interesting take on the way you do the movers, though, because even in Disney, like, there's no character that just straight up has, like, their overall, like, head, like, completely re-sculpted for the mover. And, like, Hela, you know, just looks like a very, like, if you took, like, a 3D Hela model and ripped her down to, like, the basic core vertices, and then, like, with Ultron, like, not the same deal, but that's the whole Ultron head, you know, like, that is Ultron, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, like, I'm curious how they would approach other characters in that format. Because I'm even thinking, like, you know, how do you, like, Green Goblin is a really easy one to do. Like, I would not, that one's not a hard one to do.
Just slap his head on top of the hoverboard. You're pretty much done.
Yeah, like a pumpkin head, you know, with his iconic little, you know, goblin hat on something. Yeah, on top of the goblin glider. God, I want Green Goblin. I want Green Goblin in this game so bad. I want Spider-Man representation so bad.
Just
wait for Carnage. Everything will be fine.
I know. Give me Carnage. I want
Carnage. Let there be Carnage.
Maximum Carnage, please. Okay. All right. I think we'll go ahead and wrap up the show.
Yeah.
It's been a great episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about art being geeky about this stuff.
I love design.
No, I do. I want to, and for those of you who have worked on this game that are listening to the show, I know there is a few of you who do listen. If you know whoever did the 3D models for these characters, huge shout outs to them. Like, or whoever decided that this was a thing. Like, we already said it. There is absolutely something special about going the extra mile to actually develop a special moving piece for each one of these characters, and it's not required. Like, you could play this game with your mover being a penny, you know, and you would still mechanically get the gameplay across. But, like, it's astounding the fact that there was time and decision making and, you know, hiring 3D modelers and artists to do this for the game. It's just incredible. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you two for joining me.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Until next time, everybody.
Yeah.
Stay wicked. Stay safe out there.